Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone here today. What a tremendous blessing it is that we can all gather here and worship our great God together. I'll start out our first message. Mr. Cimino started out by asking a question, and so I'll start out by asking a question also to help kind of focus us in on what we're going to talk about. Are you an apologist? Now, you might stop and think, now, what kind of a question is that? Am I an apologist? And what do I have to apologize for? And what did I do that I need to apologize for? What kind of a question is that? Well, God tells us to be an apologist. And by the time I finish today, I hope that you will want to be an apologist. When we think about meanings of words, we understand that they change over time and over location. Recently, my wife and I were in West Virginia, and we stopped at a little ice cream store, and she said, and ordered a soda. And the lady said, "A what?" And I wanted a soda. And she said, "Oh, you mean a pop." So depending on where you're from and different times, words mean different things. So what is an apologist? From the Dictionary of Theology, the meaning of apologist is someone who practices apologetics. So now we all know. Goes on to say the meaning of apologetics is the defense and the establishment of the Christian faith. Therefore, an apologist defends Christianity as well as demonstrating the error of non-Christian religions. Apologists use logic, evidence, and examination in the support and defense of the Bible and what it teaches. Goes on to say, apologists usually know their Christian doctrine very well. Webster's College Dictionary, in reference to this word, states, it's a person who defends in speech or writing a faith, doctrine, idea, or action. And if we want a simple everyday explanation, it's someone that's able to give an answer. And that's the title of my message today. Are you ready to give an answer? Today we're going to look at what the Bible says about being ready to give an answer. Years ago, I may have, when someone asked a biblical question, shied away from giving a complete answer or even an answer at all for fear that I might give the wrong answer and that I might mislead that person in some way. But I don't do that anymore because I feel like if I don't know the answer, I should be finding out what the answer is. And I should be knowing these answers. We're often asked biblical questions. All of us are. Recently, I was asked because someone noticed and found out that we didn't observe Christmas. Why don't you observe Christmas? Someone also recently asked me about what's the meaning of the Urim and the Thummim that the Bible talks about. All different kinds of questions. I had an uncle that I was talking to, and one of his questions, he was questioning his friend had just died, and his greatest worry was that he might not have been saved. And he was questioning that. Recently, in the past couple of weeks, someone was looking through a book that listed the 12 original apostles. And Jesus, the brother of James, wasn't there. So they asked, why isn't Jesus the brother of James here? And I thought I knew the answer. And I went back and I looked and I did. And Jesus' brother James was not one of the original 12. So there are a lot of questions, and we can ask each other questions and sharpen our skills. Sometimes by being able to answer a question, we can be a light to someone else that maybe God is calling. God could be calling them just by them asking us a question. Sometimes we have visitors that come from different groups that come and knock on our door at home. And they ask Bible questions. How do we respond to them? And how do we answer their questions? I had a cousin whose son was from one of these groups and was getting ready to go out on what he referred to as his mission, where he would go out and he would knock on people's doors and he would ask them questions and try and enlighten them on his beliefs. So I asked him and sat him down one day and I said, would you like me to give you some practice. And so I sat him down and I asked him some questions and got him thinking a little bit. So just for his experience, and so he would, when he went out, he would be able to have a little better understanding. But people see us at work. They see us when we're playing. They see us many times at work and ask us because they see us doing things differently than what we are or they are, and they ask us questions. Are we able to answer those questions? We have new people coming in to church services, and they ask questions. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3, chapter 15. This will be our key scripture today. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So let's go back through this verse and look at it a little bit closer. This word defense in some translations is translated answer, to give an answer. And it comes from the Greek word apologia, which is the same word that we get our word apology from. Now, we might think of apology, and when we think of apology, we might think, well, I stepped on someone's toes, and we might say, well, we're sorry, and here's the reason, I just wasn't paying attention, or whatever. But the meanings of words sometimes change. Let's take a look at this verse, starting back again in the beginning of verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This word sanctify means to put first, to set apart. Sanctify God in our hearts first. And this is when we want to give a defense or answer a question, we need to have this in mind first. We need to have God sanctified in our hearts as the first important step. God comes first. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. What does this word hope mean? So many times in our day and age, we think of hope as, well, I hope it won't rain today. But this verse has much more meaning than that. This is our conviction, not something that we're unsure about, something that we're looking forward to. God's kingdom, something that we're sure about. Our conviction, what we're looking for, it's what we are sure about. And how do we do it? The last part of verse 15, with meekness and fear, or meekness and respect. So we give an answer with meekness and respect. Not treating others as we're better than them, but meekness and respect. Continuing on in verse 16. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ might be ashamed. And certainly our society has come to the point where they look at us as evildoers, as Christians as evildoers, something that's second-class citizens. Verse 17, for it's better that if the will of God do suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So we can actually personally preach the gospel by the way that we give an answer or the way that we give a defense. Now, there are different ways that people ask questions, and so there are different ways to give answers. It brings up the question, how much do we answer? How much of an answer do we give? And we have to understand that we have to have godly discernment. We need to ask ourselves, why is that person asking the question? If someone asks about the Sabbath, do we give them a three-hour explanation with a Greek lexicon about all the things about the Sabbath? And that might be a proper answer in that case. Or it could be that they just wanted time off from work and wanted to see if you could fill in for them on that Saturday. So depending on where they're coming from when they ask the question. But we do need to know Scripture to point them to a reasonable answer so that they can understand our beliefs and we can be a good example for them. We need to be able to point them to the knowledge of God. Now, just to illustrate this, I'll bring out a joke, and I'll tell you it's a joke for two reasons. One, you know it so that you know it's not true, and secondly, you'll not forget to laugh. So, there was a Midwest pastor who, when he got ready for church, he looked out the window, and there was 2 feet of snow out, and it was a driving blizzard. He said, "No one's going to show up today. I shouldn't even go in." And then he thought, "Well, what if somebody does show up?" So he went off to church and made his way to the church building. And when he got there, there was one old farmer there, and that was the only person that had made his way to church that week. He saw the farmer and he said, "You know, there's only one of you here. Should I even give my message?" And the farmer said, "Well," he said, "you know, if I went to feed my cows and only one cow came to eat," he said, "I would feed that cow." So the pastor said, "Okay, you're right." And he went on to preach his sermon. And after an hour went by, then 2 hours went by, and 2.5 hours went by, he finally wrapped up. And when he got all finished, he said to the old farmer, he said, "Well, what'd you think?" And the old farmer said, "Well, you know, if I had one cow came," he said, "I would feed that cow, but I wouldn't give him all the hay." So when we think about being able to answer, how important is the Bible to us? And do we understand the Bible? Do we understand God's truth? The Bible is God's Word. It's the foundation of truth. It teaches us the way to salvation. Science can tell us a lot, but it can't tell us why creation exists. Science can't tell us the plan of God. It can't tell us the plan for mankind that God has for us. Science can't tell us future events that are going to unfold ahead of us. When we want answers, we should look to the Bible. And the Bible contains these answers, how to live life. The Bible contains answers to problems that we face and mankind faces. The world's searching for those answers, and it's destroying itself because it doesn't know the way. But we have the answers. The Bible reveals the purpose for which human beings have been created. Science doesn't know that. It reveals the wisdom of God Himself. And what a profound statement that is. The Bible is accurate, and it can't fail. It reveals eternal truths. It's that important to us. It reveals the way of happiness. We see the world around us searching for happiness. And what does it end up doing? It ends up a wicked and a vile society. And we see that every day. The Bible reveals answers that people might ask us. And we should know those answers. The Bible is God's handbook for humankind. And it can teach us how to answer. Ronald Reagan stated, "Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we will only read and believe." So how do we get ready to give an answer? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. What do we need to do? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verse 15. 2 Timothy 2. How do we get ready to give an answer? Verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly knowing what the Bible says. Rightly being able to explain the word of God. Doesn't need to be ashamed. Doesn't need to be fearful. Doesn't need to be afraid to give an answer. But we must be God's approved workmen. And we should be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 24, 2 Timothy 2. And how do we do that? "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth." We shouldn't ever be quarrelsome. If someone wants to argue and quarrel, that's not what we should be doing. We should offer kindness. We should be skilled, each and every one of us, in teaching. We should have gentleness, and we should be respectful. We should be patient. And we should also know what we're talking about. So we need to be God's approved workmen, diligently studying His Word. We don't need to turn there, but Colossians 4, verse 16 tells us to let our speech or our answer be always seasoned with grace. Let's turn back to the book of Proverbs. I often call it the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. I mentioned this in Fort Myers at one time, and I said the book of wisdom, turn back to Proverbs, and one of the newer members there was looking through his Bible, and he said, I just can't find the book of wisdom here. So I said, Proverbs chapter 2. And if we want kind of a summary of what we're talking about here, we've talked about having discernment, being diligent, knowing what we should be knowing, having God's wisdom. Let's look in verse 1 of chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And here is that concept of our heart first, having the right heart first. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, being close to God, knowing and having godly discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So if we want to be able to give an answer, this is where we start. We start here with the right heart. We start here by studying God's Word. And this is a recurring theme that we'll see. Biblical instructions tell us how important it is to have the right heart when answering. We're going to stay in the book of Proverbs a good bit today. So if we want to keep a marker here, let's turn over a page to Proverbs chapter 3. How do we give an answer? In verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So what do we do first? Trust in God with our heart. Have the right heart. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 1. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So God will give us the proper answer, and we can have that confidence if we've done what we are supposed to be doing. If we are diligent, we are God's approved workmen, we have the right heart, God will be with us with the right answer. We don't need to turn there, but Proverbs 20 and verse 3 tells us, it's honorable for a man to stop striving or arguing, since any fool can start a quarrel. When someone asks us a question, we might ask, are they asking this question just to start an argument? Proverbs tells us that it's honorable to stop striving. Just don't do it. Proverbs 22:17 tells us, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. And when we do, we will start to understand how to give an answer. Let's do turn over to Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. We'll start reading in verse 4. This is a verse that we often read, and this reiterates some of what we've been talking about. Verse 4 of chapter 26. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So we don't answer everyone in the exact same way. We use godly discernment to find out what they're asking. We respond in different situations differently. And once again, this verse is talking about a fool or someone who's doing foolish things. But when we think about it, we've all done foolish things from time to time. We might ask ourselves, why are they asking this? Or what are they asking? Are they asking to start trouble? Are they asking because they want an argument? Are they truly wanting to know what we believe? Are they truly wanting to know what God might be teaching them? God might be using you when they ask these questions to be calling them. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, starting in verse 8. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction or an answer to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So when we give someone an answer, we need to understand why they're asking us. Are they asking us to cause trouble? Are they truly wanting to learn? Discernment. And how do we get discernment? Some time ago, we had a split sermon on the three points of safety. They were prayer, study, and meditation. We need to draw close to God and ask Him for discernment. When we think about being able to give an answer, we have to realize that God answers us, and we can be grateful that He does. Proverbs 86 and verse 7 tells us, in David's example, in the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. And in Psalms 102 and verse 2, in that day I call, answer me speedily. So God answers us when we go to Him asking for help. David had confidence, and we should also. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, we'll read verse 13. When we think about giving an answer or passing judgment on a situation, this is an important verse that we should reflect on often. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Some translations will state, he who answers a matter before he hears it is a fool or is foolish. How often do we find ourselves in our mind judging a matter or someone else before we actually even heard both sides? And we might ask ourselves, have we heard the full story before we pass judgment? Psalm 119, verse 42 tells us, I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word, and we could and should have that confidence in God's word. Sometimes God doesn't answer. Why is that? Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. When we think about God answering, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. We were in Proverbs chapter 2 a little earlier. Let's back up to verse 28 in chapter 1. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of them, of the simple, will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So how do we present this information? We have this information. How do we give this answer? Proverbs chapter 15. As we move through the book of Proverbs, We'll look at a few verses right here in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 15. In verse 1, how many times when we find ourselves in a situation where there is a quarrel going on, someone's upset, someone has a problem with us, we could put this verse to use. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 14 of the same chapter. The heart of him who seeks understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Verse 23 of the same chapter. How do we give an answer? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good it is to be able to give an answer, an uplifting, encouraging, comforting word. And so many times have we ever seen people, and they're very good at this, so that they're always there to encourage someone. They're always there. You can always count on them to uplift the situation, no matter how difficult it is. Verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. In verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. We're not called to belittle others, but to comfort and encourage others. Let's turn over to a New Testament example in the book of Acts. When we think about giving an answer, Acts chapter 17. Being ready to give an answer, preparing to give an answer. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. This is the example of the Bereans. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Where they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were far more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were God's approved workmen. They worked at it. They were diligent. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as the men. God used the Bereans to be examples to others. Matthew Henry's commentary tells us the Jews in Berea applied seriously to the study of the word preached to them. They not only heard Paul preached on the Sabbath, but daily searched the scriptures and compared what they read with the facts related to them. The doctrine of Christ does not fear iniquity, it goes on to say. Advocates for his cause desire no more than that people will fully and fairly examine whether things are so or not. These are truly noble and likely to be more and more so who make the scriptures their rule and consult them accordingly. May all the hearers of the gospel become like those of Berea, it states, receiving the word with readiness of mind and searching the scriptures daily, whether the things preached to them are so. A tremendous example for us. ESV Study Bible states, Luke saw the Bereans as more noble in their receiving Paul's message with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And by commending this activity, Luke encourages this searching of the scriptures as a pattern for all believers, and also gives support to the idea that the Bible can be understood rightly, not only by scholars, but also by ordinary people who read it eagerly and diligently with conscious dependence on God for help. So a lot said right there. With diligence, studying, being God's approved workman, we can all understand how to give an answer. Barnes Note states, the scriptures should be examined daily if we wish to arrive at the truth. They should be the object of constant study. That man has very little reason to expect that he will grow in knowledge and grace who does not peruse with candor and with prayer a portion of the Bible every day. This is how we learn to give an answer. This is how we learn to be God's approved workmen. We should all be like the Bereans. Well, what are some examples of questions that we might get? People might ask us why we don't keep Sunday. People might ask us, do you believe in the rapture? Why do you keep the holy days? We should be able to answer questions like this. Aren't the holy days done away with? Do you believe in the Trinity? Are you saved by obeying the law? These are questions that we come into in contact with all the time. Some say that faith is about heart knowledge only and not head knowledge, but it's both. It takes diligent work studying God's scriptures to be able to give an answer. We should be internalizing God's word, enabling us to defend his faith. We think about giving an answer, we might look at Paul's example. And we don't need to turn there, but if we look at Paul's example, he was, after preaching, he was taken and put into prison. He was arrested, but he used wisdom in dealing with the situation and giving answers to the questions that were asked him. How about Jesus Christ? Let's take a look at his example back in Luke 14. When he was asked a question. Luke chapter 14. We'll start in verse 1. Luke chapter 14. And there are many examples of Jesus Christ being able to give an answer with godly wisdom. Starting in verse 1. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. They were trying to trip him up with a question that he couldn't answer. Verse 3, and Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees. What did he do? He answered their question by asking a question. And sometimes that's good. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Verse 6, and they could not answer him regarding these things. Luke chapter 20. As we look at Jesus Christ's example. Luke chapter 20. Verse 1. Luke chapter 20. Verse 1. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him, and they spoke to him, saying, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, or who is it that gave you this authority? Verse 3. But he answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, and you answer me. So he used discernment to find out and to understand, godly discernment, drawing close to God. Why were they asking him the question? He knew that they were asking the question to try and trip him up. Verse 4. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? So he turned the question around and asked them a question. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us. For they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. In verse 8, Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In verse 26, drop down to verse 26. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. Jesus Christ, the perfect example for us. As we go through and look at his examples, he teaches us how to give an answer. We also must know what we know. We must know God's Word. One thing that helps us do that is the Holy Spirit. It gives us and assists us in giving an answer. We might say, well, I don't have to be prepared to give an answer. Look at Luke chapter 21. Let's turn over there. Luke chapter 21. I don't need to learn ahead of time. The Holy Spirit will help me understand. We'll start reading in verse 14. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So this is telling us we're not to meditate ahead of time. Does this mean that we don't have to do our homework? That we can go into a situation blindly, not really needing to study? No, that's not what it states. If we've done what we should, and if we are who we are, then God, through the Holy Spirit, then will assist us in coming up with the right answer. Does this mean that we know everything, or will know everything? No, we don't know everything. And none of us have all of the answers. But we don't come to the conclusion that we know it all and stop studying or stop becoming and drawing close to God. Do we have a thorough understanding of our fundamental beliefs? When we are God's approved workmen, when we are diligently doing what we are supposed to do and studying God's Word, when we are learning about God's Word, then when it comes a time to step before someone else and give an answer, the Holy Spirit will be there to assist us. 2 weeks ago, we observed the Feast of Pentecost. And so many times we can go through the holy days and not really fully comprehend what they do for us. The giving of the Holy Spirit, what a tremendous blessing it is. It's the very nature, the presence, the expression of God's power actively working with us. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We see the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And you can imagine being there on that first day of Pentecost as we reflect on that, as the Holy Spirit was given. What a tremendous blessing. The Comforter, the Encourager, the one who helps us understand God's way. Here we see the disciples were filled with awe. They were transformed by the Holy Spirit. And our lives also should be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, we don't need to turn there, but what are we to do? And they had asked, what are we to do? Repent, be baptized, receive God's Holy Spirit. And we know that that was given by the laying on of hands, Acts chapter 8. And when we think about being able to give an answer, we can't fully comprehend God or His way of life without God's Holy Spirit. We may have turned to this verse, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As we reflect and review God giving His Holy Spirit and what it does for us when we go to give an answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What a tremendous and powerful blessing it is for us. And we'll start reading in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. How do we give an answer? God's Holy Spirit working through us helps us to have godly understanding. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. God's Spirit is necessary to comprehend and understand the spiritual truths of the Bible. The Holy Spirit grants us understanding. The Holy Spirit grants, God's power grants us faith. Repeatedly, the Scriptures reveal that God imparted divine inspiration to His prophets and His servants through the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote that God's plan for humanity had been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and the prophets. And working through the Spirit, God the Father is the revealer of truth to those who serve Him. Not only the Spirit of God the Father, but the Spirit of God the Father working through, leading through Jesus Christ through us. The Father imparts this same Spirit to true Christians through Jesus Christ. We see that in John 14 and John 15. Having God's Spirit helps us be able to have the understanding to give those answers. God offers us His power, His own nature as a result of His calling, His repentance, and His baptism. And the result of that, or the fruit of that, is the fruits of the Holy Spirit we find in Galatians chapter 5. These fruits are a reflection of God's character, produced by us through His Holy Spirit. And our answers should be reflecting that also. They should be the results of God's Holy Spirit. It's like the fruit that you get from your garden or off of a tree. It's the result of God's Holy Spirit. That also should be reflected in our answers. Barnes' note says that the fruit of the Spirit does not flow from our own nature, but the virtues are produced by the Holy Spirit. And we should seek God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays an important part in us being able to give an answer. Let's turn back to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll read verse 17. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you and let them all be fixed upon your lips. When we think about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, we understand it's an encourager, a comforter. And with the right heart, God will impart His understanding through His Holy Spirit. 1 John 3, verse 24 tells us, by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. And 1 John 4, verse 6 states, by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So we're able to have that discernment of truth and error. We talked about the example of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect example of the fruit of the Spirit. What better example can we look forward to, or can we look to, for showing us the fruit of the Spirit in our lives than Jesus Christ? He was the perfect example through His ministry, through His arrest, through His betrayal, through His crucifixion, and also through the answers that He gave. When we reflect on our commission in Matthew 28, we are to go out and teach all nations. Some of that is by the way we give an answer. And when we think about giving an answer, sometimes our example speaks louder than our actions or our words. Sometimes our example is our answer many times. Many are called by God using us as tools to give someone an answer to a question that they came up with. And because they saw our example, they saw us doing something differently. And so that triggered a question. If we remember the Council of Elders, both messages on the Sabbath, both touched on being experts and knowing what we know, being professionals. It was stated that there are professional firefighters, there are professional policemen, but we are to be professional people of the book. We must know what we know. We must challenge ourselves. We must dig ourselves into the words of the book and understand what we know. Understand what the book says. Understand and be able to be God's approved workman and give an answer. A letter from the late Dennis Luker just before Pentecost some years ago stated, and I quote, "Let's remember to desire and pray earnestly for the literal fruits of God's Spirit during this season of Pentecost. Even if the global economy crumbles, we can have confidence that God will deliver us. And our focus needs to not be on the events and fears of the world, but on overcoming and producing the spiritual fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So how important is it that we're able to give an answer? Some questions, if not properly answered, could be a stumbling block for others. And instead of being a light and a good example, or just the opposite. We should be doing our part, and God, through His Holy Spirit, will do the rest. So what are some key points that we've looked at today? The heart is a vital aspect of our answer. We must start out with the right heart. We must be diligent in doing our homework and being God's workmen. And we must have confidence that the Holy Spirit, God's power, will lead us and give us understanding when giving an answer. So are you an apologist? Can you explain the Word of God? Well, today the Bible is under attack, and anyone who believes in God's Word is under attack. Who would have thought just 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 30 years ago? Christians are not accepted as normal anymore. They're rejected. They're scoffed at. And as in the times of Noah, there's a simmering hostility towards God and against biblical morality. And as we do our part to study the Scriptures, and as we look back to the Feast of Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit being made available to everyone that God's called, let's reflect on what that Holy Spirit does for us. And as we do, we can have the confidence to be ready to give an answer.